We're in the book of Luke, but we've made it to Luke chapter 17. We are moving right along. So here in Luke chapter 17 now, Luke chapter 17. And we'll read the first six verses this morning of Luke chapter 17. Beginning in verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And the apostles said unto the Lord, Increase our faith. And the Lord said, If you had faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamine tree, Be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. And so back in verse 1, Then said he unto his disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom it come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he cast into the sea. Now that's a serious punishment. That's Jesus saying it'd be better for that fella to have that done to him. I think about the old crime bosses. You know, I'm originally from up north. I admit it. I'm not proud of it, but I admit it. Amen. It's good to confess sometimes those things. Confess your faults one to another. Amen. All that. And I'm originally from there, up around Philadelphia. They got up there. They have. They don't really have it as much anymore, but they have what's called organized crime. You get up in New York City, see, in Newark. Out in Chicago, Detroit, some of those places, they got organized crime. And you know what it is? That's the mob. That's the mob bosses behind those things. And those fellas out there in Atlantic City and Newark and Philadelphia, that tri-area right there where they did a lot of their work at, especially once they got Atlantic City going and everything else. You know what they would do to people? And if they had some guy and they need to whack someone, that's how they take them out. They whack them, you know. And they would whack somebody. Most of the time, you'd never know it. You'd never even know it. They had that big crime boss guy who they called a union leader. And all of a sudden, they don't know what happened to him. What happened to Jimmy Hoffa? They don't know where he is. I'll tell you, it's real easy. All you got to do is put a pair of cement shoes on him. That's what they call it, cement shoes. You know what they do? They take 2 5-gallon buckets, and they'd have that guy down tied to a chair. And they'd put each foot in a 5-gallon bucket, and then they'd fill it with quickcrete. Put a little water in there and let it harden. You know what you got? You got cement shoes. Have his hand tied behind his back, still alive. Toss him out in the ocean. You think anybody's going to find him? They ain't never going to find a thing. You know what they said? Just put those cement shoes on him. You know what Jesus said? It was better for that fellow that a millstone was hanged around his neck and tossed to sea. What do they mean? Same thing. The idea is you'd be better off being thrown out in the sea and dying and nobody ever being able to find your body. Then you would be having to deal with me one day for what? For what? What was the crime? What was the crime? Then they should offend, look at that, one of these little ones. Then they should offend one of these little ones. Hey, the Lord's heart is towards the young people. The Lord's heart is towards the children. Look with me in Matthew chapter 18, and the title of my message this morning is simply this, Be Good to the Children. Be good to the children. Or the Lord, it'd be better for you if the Lord had Guido and Carlucci and Anthony come by and meet you and take care of business than it would for you one day to have to stand before God when He take care of you and throw you in a lake of fire with cement shoes. Amen. Look at it. Matthew chapter 18 and verse 4. Verse 4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child. The same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he was drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe in the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. The Vatican today said, Brother Ray, you're always talking about Roman Catholicism. Listen, I don't have anything against a Roman Catholic person. I hope they get saved. I love them. I want to see them get saved. I'm talking about the Vatican. I'm talking about the ones that are putting out this propaganda, putting out their doctrine. I'm telling you right now, they teach, and their doctrine is when that baby's born, you got to get that baby baptized right away and take that baby and sprinkle water on his head. They call it, he gets christened. And they give him a godfather. And then he becomes a member of the church because you put a little water on its head. No, that ain't it. That ain't baptism in the Bible. What are they doing right there? You know why they do that? Because they say if you don't do that and that baby dies, God will send that baby to hell. Well, then they got a different God than I got. Because my God won't send any baby to hell. Those babies are innocent. Those babies haven't done anything wrong. Those little children are innocent, see? And if there's something we all admire about little children, what is it? It's that innocence, see? And the Roman Catholic Church, that doctrine is out of the pit of hell. Because what that thing is saying is that God is so unjust that He would take a little innocent child like the one there in Sister Nikki's arms, and if she were to die, cast her to hell. Or take little Moses there if he was to die and cast into the hell. My God wouldn't do that. And anybody that teaches that God would do that, they're the one with the problem. And they're the fellows that the Lord's talking about here. They're going to meet the Lord one day. They're going to give an account for that thing one day. Amen. Child abuse. Child abuse. That's what it is. You got more of that going on today, brethren, than ever before. More of this physical abuse of children, sexual abuse of children, all that stuff going on. More kids today growing around with alcohol and drugs all around them. They got stuff on YouTube with some little 6-year-old kid taking a hit off a bong and all this stuff, and the parents laughing at it and thinking it's funny. That's child abuse. That's what that stuff is. It's all child abuse, and that's all it is. Amen. Ever since we got saved, we've been involved in something with kids and helping out kids. I don't know. It's just always been that way. We were in foster care. We were foster parents. We had a non-secure detention in our own home. We worked as a minister at the 99 Boys Ranch over up there in Cantonment. I was the chaplain at the boys base for 3 years out there. Chaplain at the detention center now for about the last 12 years. Got a boys home in our church now. Say, well, I don't know. Just always. I always figured it'd be good to be on God's good side. And you want to be on God's good side, you be good to the children. Amen. Listen, you want to be on God's bad side, you mess with them kids and see what happens. Not a good place to be. Not a good place to be. Amen. Suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not. That's what Jesus said. For of such is the kingdom of God. That's what the kingdom of God's like. It's like innocent little children. Amen. And the Lord says, you let them come to me. You don't forbid them. You don't forbid them. The idea that they're going to go to hell, the Lord would never say that. He would never teach that. Now, this whole thing started for me, as far as I can tell. I'd been saved, I don't know, about 6 weeks, 2 months. So I'd been just a brand new baby Christian. And the Lord saved me out of a lot. He'd saved me out of a lot of garbage, a lot of the old past life and all that stuff. And anyway, my pastor had received this flyer from another church. In this other church, I can't remember the name, it was like Pleasant View Baptist, something like that, I think. And this Pleasant View Baptist was having a ministry for the young people. Not really, it was having a rock concert. And stated it as such. And had a flyer for a rock concert. And it said, have you seen these men? They're wanted for rock and roll assault. And they didn't look like men when you looked at them, because they all had hair down about here. You know, with these funny looking smiles and the big studs on their arms and all that. And you know where they were going to be performing? At this church, at a Baptist church, to have a rock concert. And buddy, I saw that thing real, and the Lord had just saved me out of all that. And I told my wife, we're going. I said, grab a bunch of tracks, we're going. And we grabbed a bunch of tracks, went there. My wife was out in that parking lot, putting a gospel track on every single car out there. And I went up. When we got there, we were kind of early. There was about a dozen, two dozen young people on the steps waiting to get into this church for a rock concert. And so I started talking to one of them and started talking to another one. And next thing you know, I'm preaching to a couple of dozen kids. I'm preaching to them and telling them, you realize how far we are along and how we are in the last days? Here you came to a Baptist church to hear a rock concert? I'm preaching that thing, and next thing I know, there's someone behind me saying, excuse me, sir, excuse me, what are you doing? What are you doing? And I said, oh, I'm out here talking to these guys about Jesus. He says, well, what are you doing that for? He says, listen, come here. He comes over and he says, I'm the youth pastor. I'm the one that's putting this thing on. And right there with him was his wife, and found out that she was really the youth pastor. You know how that goes. And she was the one that was really having a problem with me being there. And you can't be doing this. Listen, don't you understand? We've got these kids here, so we're going to bring them in here, and then they're going to hear the music, and then we're going to give them the gospel. And I said, well, brother, I just gave them the gospel. Aren't you happy? He wasn't happy. You know why? He hadn't given them that rock music yet. Now, you know what kind of a philosophy that is and what's messing up our young people today? You know what that thing is? That's a stinking Gehazi philosophy of this. Hey, what we need to do is let's not deliver Nahum from his leprosy. Let's become lepers ourselves. With me? And if I become a leper, and I'm a leper like you, then you'll feel comfortable when you come to our church, because then you'll know that you're just another leper in with a bunch of other lepers. No, sir. No, sir. We're not going to win the world. We're not going to win young people by becoming lepers to save them out of their leprosy. It don't work that way. You can't help out anybody like that. They need to know that when they come here or when they go to some ministry that God's there, and that there's going to have to be a change, and they're going to have to repent of their sin when they get there. They ain't going to do that if they're in a rock concert, for crying out loud. I heard them back in that church performing and warming up for that thing. And I'm talking about acid rock, heavy metal stuff in a church. Man, that thing broke my heart. See that going on for those young people. And ever since then, the Lord's just always allowed us to have an open door to try to help some young people out. I understand it, but that's just been the way it is. What is the world's attitude? It's Egypt, man. Egypt's the type of the world. Remember what Egypt did to Israel once they started getting too many of them? You know what's happened in this country? They've gotten too many Christians. And you know what Egypt's decided? You need to get rid of them little kids. You need to get them when they're young. You need to get them when they're young, and you need to destroy them. And so between the television... And are you listening this morning? Between the television and between the computers and between all the world stuff that's being pushed out there, the idea is to get you young people and destroy you. And they're going to throw you in the river of this world and throw you in there and try to drown you and try to ruin your life so you won't do anything for God. You better keep your hands off the kids. You better keep your hands off the kids. See? And you know what that is? They're trying to mess up your life with sin and ruin you. And who was that attack against specifically? It wasn't the little girls. Uh-uh. No, they're the ones doing best on the SAT test now. Those are the ones that are going to college. See, the attack isn't against them, ladies. Listen. Young girls, listen. The attack ain't against you as much. It's against them young boys. All the devil needs to do for you is get you to dress a little weird so he can mess them up. And you don't mind doing that for the devil, do you? He wants to mess up these young men. He wants to mess up these boys. That's what he's out to get. That's this world. Take them young boys. Throw them in the river and drown them! So God can't do anything for them. For they're going to get a chance. Ruin them. Destroy them. That's this world! That's the spirit of this world! That was right before the deliverer was coming, Moses. Next time it happened, here comes Jesus, the deliverer. What are they doing? Kill all the boys 2 years and under. Now you see that thing? That's this world. That's this world's attitude towards the young people. Public schools are, listen, those public schools are out to mess up young people. They're out to ruin young people. And I'm here to tell you right now, listen, if you're a parent and you have no choice and your kid has to go to public school, I'm not trying to criticize you, I'm not trying to put you down, but you ought to be praying, you ought to be doing everything in your power to pray as soon as possible that you can either get them in Christian school or you can get them homeschooled. You've got to keep them out of this world. The public schools today will ruin young people. They'll destroy them. They'll teach them there's no God. They'll teach them evolution's true. They'll get them in all this psychology and all the other garbage that's out there to ruin their minds. minds and ruin their lives. If you have a kid that's in public school and they have to be there and you can't help it, then you ought to be questioning them every day when they come home from school. What kind of garbage they've been able to brainwash you with today? What they've been trying to shove down your throat today? You better stay on it. You better stay on it, because this world is out there to ruin them. They're rewriting American history, trying to make them think that that America was never anything at all until the 60s when the Civil Rights Movement showed up. No, the America has always been a great country. Amen. And I don't have anything against that, but I'm telling you, America was always a great country. What do you know about George Washington? What do you know about him? What do you know about Jefferson? What do you know about him? What do you know about Madison? What do you know about him? What do you know about John Adams? What do you know about him? What do you know about the sacrifices that were made over the last 200 years so that we could have the liberties and the freedoms that we have today? You know what they're doing in our public schools? They're rewriting history. Why? To damn a generation. They're out to mess up these young people. They're out to mess up their minds. It's called the dumbing down of America. Amen. And some of you homeschool parents are helping them out with that. Oh yeah, we homeschool our children. Yeah, and you teach them like a half an hour a day or something. Come on. Don't dumb down your kids just because the world is. Give them something. Give them some aspirations. Teach them something. Get them reading something. Get them learning something. Amen? Get them learning something. Don't let them just be ignorant. Don't let them go around being ignorant like the rest of the world is. And don't let them be lazy like the most kids are today. Amen? Don't let them be lazy. Most kids today are lazy. They're lazy. L-A-Z-Y, lazy. Amen? Don't be lazy. Don't be lazy. And the devil will try to get you to be lazy, and you just go right along with it, and he'll ruin your life through it. He'll ruin your life through it. I'll tell you what today, if you don't do drugs and you can show up today on time and do a hard day's work, you're a rare thing. You ought to be able to get a job anywhere these days. Amen. Because that's become a... Talk to people that have jobs that are trying to hire people. They'll tell you how hard it is to find somebody that'll even put in an honest day's work anymore. Hard thing to find. That's even with a lot of so-called Christians today. That's a sad thing. You know what? All they're doing in these public schools is turning the little girls into sluts and turning all the boys into whoremongers. That's all they're doing. They're sexualizing everything. That's all they're doing. They're ruining these kids. We just had... Who's that... that hermaphrodite, whatever she is there, MSNBC, Melissa Harris Perry, just came out with that. Did you hear about that thing? Just this last week. Came out on national television. You know what she said? Those, your children, aren't your children. They're part of the collective. I'm sorry? The collective? Oh yeah, they're part of the community. And the community owns your children. You don't own them. Oh yeah, that's what these liberals, that's what they want to do. They're out to steal your kids. You know why? Because they think they love your kid more than you do. You believe that? You believe anybody loves your kids more than you love your kids? Besides the Lord? Come on now, what is that stuff, that collective inner? You know what they're trying to do? They're trying to steal everybody's kids from them so they can brainwash them with a bunch of government garbage and ruin their lives before they ever get a chance. Amen. That's what they're out to do. That's what Hitler was out to do. Get the kids. You get the kids, you got them. You see? The devil's smart, man. He's smart. And the attack is it's been against the young people. That's where the push is. Listen, that same crowd saying, give us your kids, we love them, that's the same crowd pushing abortion. They don't love kids. They hate kids. They're the ones pushing partial birth abortion. You know what that is? You get the kid all the way out except its head, then you shove this thing in there and suck their brains out so you can use it for science. Because they love you. They care about you. And you know where that stuff is pushed from these liberals who care about the African Americans? You know where that stuff is pushed? It's pushed in the black communities. That's where they push it. You know where most of the abortion's going on today? It's going on in the black communities. You know who's doing that? A bunch of liberals. They love the African American. They're killing y'all. They're out there killing you. It's infanticide. Killing you. In the name of what? Education? In the name of what? Compassion? I don't think so. I don't think so. And you look at the United States today, 1 million abortions a year averaging? Lord help. Say, what is that? You think that's for the kids? You think that's to help the kids, is it? Killing them all? We just gave you that one verse this morning. Here's another one over there in Proverbs 23 and verse 14. If you get into your Bible there, Proverbs 23:14. Who can quote it for me? I'm trying to remember it right now. Thou shalt... Well, let's look there. Let's look there. Be good to look there. Now look at this thing and look what the world's teaching today. Look there in Proverbs chapter 23. Proverbs chapter 23. Look at verse 14. Look at verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. You see there? The Lord gave a place for instruction. And sometimes you need a pat on the back. And sometimes you need a pat on the back lower. Amen. And you know where you need it? On the seat of learning is where you apply the rod of correction. You see, the Lord made a place, and you know what God said? If you do that, listen, you don't beat him about the head and all that stuff, even though sometimes that's tempting. You don't do it. Listen, you know what you do? You know what you do? You put him over your knee, and bam, you let her have it. You let him have it. The rod of correction on the seat of learning. Look what he said there, verse 13. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. He ain't going to hurt him none. It's going to hurt. It's going to be pain, but it ain't going to hurt him none after that. What did he say? Verse 14. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. You know why you got a bunch of young people headed to hell? And they don't fear the preacher. And they don't fear hell. And they don't fear God. You know why? They were never taught to. You know how you're taught to fear God and fear hell? When you get a whooping. You know what it tells you? There's pain, there's a cost for doing wrong. And when that's put in you when you're young, that'll save your soul from hell one day. So you know what the world's pushing out there today? What are they pushing? Don't spank the poor innocent children. Oh no, Johnny just needs a timeout. Oh yeah, you're going to take Johnny and you're going to give him a timeout. He's going to be sitting over there in his timeout with the devil. And him and the devil are going to be sitting there plotting. How are you going to get back at you one day? Amen. That's what's going on in his wicked little heart and mind. You know how you take care of that? With a rod of correction. You deal with it right then. I can't remember so many times, especially when they're young. I mean, 5, 6, 7, 4, 3, 2, and in there, you know. And they want to have those temper tantrums, and they want to, and they just start, after a while, you just tell them you can't get nothing with them, and then finally say, come here, that's it, come here. Bam, 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 bam. And 30 seconds later, they're an angel. They're perfect. They're happy. They're content. They're at peace. Everything's fine. Say, what happened? You literally beat the devil out of them. I believe that. Amen. And those kids, they need that. They appreciate it. They appreciate it. Amen. It's good for them. My parents did it to me, and it didn't affect me hardly at all. And it won't hurt you none either. Amen. The idea is, listen, that'll save your soul from hell. And when you've got a world out there now teaching that it's wrong and that they own your kids and you don't, the next thing is they're going to legalize it. You watch it. They're going to legalize it. And when they try to legalize it, then what's going to happen to all those Christian parents that want to obey God? They're going to take your kids from you and put you in jail and make you the bad guys for trying to obey God. Now, you better pray Jesus comes back soon, because that's where these devils are headed. You count on that. They're out to take your kids from you. They don't want you raising your kids. They want to take your kids and give them to a couple of dykes. Yeah, or to a couple of queers and raise your kids. That's what this world wants. Don't you doubt that for a second. That's exactly what this wicked world wants under the God of this world. The whole world lieth in wickedness. Don't kid yourself, man. That's what they wanted. They could get away with it. They'd do it right now. But I ran into a lady, and this is about a year and a half ago, something like that. And I was at the Express Oil Change, and then she was in the Express Oil Change. And I gave her a gospel tract. And she says, somebody just tried to give me one of these last Saturday. I said, where was that? She says, oh, it's over at the corner there. And there's people out there with signs. And all. Oh, were you there? And I said, yeah, that was me. She says, I saw you. She says, you know, I have a bone to pick with you. And I said, really, what's that? She says, you had those boys out there doing that preaching. And it was hot. Aren't you afraid that might hurt them? I said, ma'am, we were only out there from 10:30 to 11:45, and we had water from all of them to drink, and they got to take turns in between. And ma'am, while that was going on, they're having football practice and baseball practice at the schools, and they're sweating and running and doing a lot more. And then half of them have them down at the beach with nothing on out there in the sun, getting the sun all over them. And how come you don't have a problem with that, but you have a problem with them when they're out there serving God? Oh, I see your point. That's a good point. Huh? You know, the world's out to get you.
The world's out against you, young people. You know, the Lord said, you better keep your hands off them kids. When did it finally come to an end for Egypt? When they started messing with them kids. See? That's when it'll come an end to this country. They keep doing what they're doing. What's the greatest child abuse that could ever occur? Think about it. What's the greatest child abuse that could ever occur? You know what it is? It's keeping a young person from hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ and being saved. That's the greatest way you could ever abuse a young person. Keep them from hearing the gospel. Amen. Keep them from hearing the truth. What would they do back there in the Old Testament? They'd worship Baal and Molech. You know how they'd worship him? They'd take young people and sacrifice them and kill them as offerings to their God. That's this world. Roman Catholicism and Islam and the humanists and the secularists, they ain't interested in seeing that kid get saved. They'll do anything they can to stop that kid from being saved. Hollywood and the rockers and the rappers and the educators and the social services, they ain't interested in seeing your kids get saved and know the Lord. I mean, they get saved and know the Lord, they might actually stop lying. They might start reading the Bible and want to go to church. They might want to actually start working hard. They might want to actually start obeying their parents. Wouldn't that be a terrible thing? Well, as far as this world's concerned, it would be. It sure would be. They're full of the devil, that's all. That's all. Look back there in Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17. But I want you to consider something now. Look at this. We won't be long. Luke chapter 17. I want you to consider something. You see, sometimes in the Bible you have this thing which is known as a dual application. And that's what you're looking at here. Look in Luke chapter 17, in verse 1. Then said he unto the disciples, it is impossible but that offenses will come, but woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him, and if he repent, forgive him. What does that have to do with verses 1 and 2? Why is the Lord saying that? What does that have to do with verses 1 and 2? Verse 4, if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. What does that have to do with verses 1 and 2? You see, there's more to this thing than originally meets the eye. Look back in the book of Mark, Mark chapter 9. Scripture with Scripture. Well, see, when the Lord says little children, He's not always talking about little children. You have a dual application. Look here in Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9, beginning in verse 38. Mark 9, verse 38. And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name, and he followed not us. And we forbade him, because he followeth not us. But Jesus said, forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. He might have been messed up. Let him go. At least, you know, say in the name of Jesus. Hey, praise God for all the Southern Baptist churches out there that are doing absolutely nothing. Say, why? At least they're clearing the way for us. If you didn't have all those Southern Baptist churches out there, Baptists wouldn't be as many as there are. And they think we're some kind of weird minority thing and come after us. Do you understand? They're a cloak. They're protection for us. The Lord will use that. Don't forbid them. Don't forbid them. Amen. Amen. Just something to think about. Where are we at? Verse, help me out. Verse 40, thank you. For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever, now look, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because you belong to Christ, because you what? Belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. And whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, what? Then who's the little ones that believe in him? It was his disciples. It was his own disciples in the context. That's what he's talking about. Look at that. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and he were cast into the sea. If you're saved, who's your father? God. Then what are you to God? You're one of his children. You're one of his little ones. Hey! You better keep your hands off the children. Say, whose children? God's children. Said, is he saved? I don't know. Says he is. You know how you better treat him? You better remember who his father is. You better remember who her father is. Are we okay? Don't let me lose you now. Stay with me. Matthew chapter 10. Look at Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 40. He that receiveth you, talking to his disciples, receiveth me, and he that receiveth me, receiveth him that sent me. He that receiveth a prophet in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And he that receiveth a righteous man in the name of a righteous man shall receive a righteous man's reward. And whosoever shall give to drink unto one of these little ones a cup of cold water only in the name of a disciple, verily I say unto you, he shall no wise lose his reward. Who's the little ones there? That's any of God's children. That's anybody that believes on Jesus Christ. In other words, anybody that does you good, God will do good to them. Anybody that does you wrong, God will do wrong to them. See, because you're in spiritually, who are you? You're Abraham's spiritual seed. I will bless them that bless thee, and I will curse them that curse thee. And you know what the Lord said? You better keep your hands off my children. See? And there's not one person in this world that can lay a hand on you unless God lets them. But when God lets them, He said offenses will come. But He promised you one thing. When they come, don't worry, God's going to take care of it. So then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. Look with me back now in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew 18. Matthew chapter 18. Anybody here saved? Then you know what that means? That means you're God's child. You know what that means? I better be careful how I treat you. Because you're God's child. You know what that means? You better be careful how you treat me. Because I'm God's child. We're all God's children. We've got to keep that in mind. See? We've got to remember who's in charge. Matthew chapter 18, verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as... Here it is. What happens when you get saved? And become as little children, you shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And who shall receive one such little child in my name, receiveth me. Notice the context of this is anyone that's been saved. Anyone that's come to Christ. You're a little one of God. You're a child of God. Verse 6. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe unto the world because of offenses, for it must needs be that offenses come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. Now look down in verse 10. Take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. Who is that? Who are the little ones there? That's any Christian. Say, how do you know? For I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. They said after Peter's death that they thought that they had seen his angel. What is that? That's his spirit. An angel is a ministering spirit. When you die, you know where you're going to be? You're going to be before the throne of God, beholding the face of God. See? And that's what he said. You better be careful how you treat God's children. Now, did you see that? Look at that again in verse 10. Stay with me. Verse 10. Don't lose me now. This is important. Look at it. Verse 10. Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones, for I say unto you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. Verse 11. For the Son of Man is come to save that which is lost. How think you if a man shall have 100 sheep? Are you still with me? Where's he going now? Remember, look back in Luke. Back in Luke, where were we? What's the context of all that we're looking at here? Look in Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15, verse 1, "Then drew near unto him all the publicans and sinners for to hear him." Who's coming to hear Jesus? All the publicans, all the sinners. They want to be saved. They want to hear the Lord. "And the Pharisees and the scribes murmured, saying, This man receiveth sinners and eateth with them." And what's Christ's response? He talks about that sheep going astray, who the Lord came to save, that lost one. Now you see that thing? What's the context of that? It was the Pharisees that were coming against the sinners that needed to be saved and stopping them from being saved. What was the context of Luke chapter 15, Luke chapter 16? You see, when he goes into Luke chapter 17, where is he? He's still in context of that stuff there. Which is what? There's that rich man who went to hell. And there was that beggar, Lazarus, that rich man didn't care nothing about. And that's a picture of that fellow in sin that the Lord was trying to reach. You know what the Lord wants to do? He wants to reach sinners. What are you doing to reach them? Do you care about the children? Or are you trying to stop them from hearing the truth? You see? And the Lord says there's judgment coming one day. That's what it'll be based on. That's exactly what it'll be based on. Now, knowing that, look in chapter 17, Luke chapter 17 and verse 1. "Then he said unto the disciples, It is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones." Which is who? Any child of God. Now, that's the case. Look at verse 3. "Take heed to yourselves." Huh? In reference to what? How you treat God's children. "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, do what? Forgive him. And if he trespass against thee seven times in a day, and seven times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. And what happens if you don't? There's a judgment coming. That's the context. Now, let's read it like we would in modern church today. You with me? Stay with me now. Let's look at it again. Verse 3. "Take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass..." You all with me, right? Watch in the verse. "If thy brother trespass against thee, act like nothing happened, and then go tell everybody else in the church to ruin his life." Hello? Now, who would do that if they believed those verses were true? Lord says, you don't do that. Who are you doing that against? One of God's children? How are you treating God's children? You better be careful. Somebody did you wrong? What are you supposed to do? Get on the phone and tell everybody else? What are you supposed to do? Come on now. What are you supposed to do? Rebuke them. No, don't forgive them. Rebuke them. Hey! You realize what you did? And tell them. You and them alone. Now, could it be that maybe you had a misconception, a misperception that just needed to get worked out? Isn't that all it is? Am I right? But even if it wasn't, how are you supposed to handle it? You're not supposed to go to anybody else. Well, I just let it, it's like water off a duck's back to me, preacher, doesn't bother me. Then why do you have to tell others? If it really didn't bother you, you could have kept your mouth shut about it. It did bother you. But instead of going to the person that bothered you, you went to everybody else. Now listen, brothers and sisters, if somebody comes to you about Pastor Ray, why don't you tell him to shut up and tell him to go talk to Pastor Ray? If someone comes to you about somebody else in the church, why don't you tell them to shut up and go talk to that person? Isn't that what we should do? How does God want us to treat His children? Shouldn't we treat His children the way God wants us to treat them? Am I losing you yet? Are you with me still on this? This is important. You better get it. It'd be better for you. Get them cement shoes on. better than what? I wouldn't want to be in that shape. I wouldn't have to face my father with that. Somebody did you wrong, what are you supposed to do? Go to them. Try to get it straightened out. And then if they turn around and say, and you realize that they did do you wrong, what are they supposed to do? Repent. I'm sorry. Would you forgive me? And then what are you supposed to do? And if anybody doesn't do any of that, what's the problem? Who's their problem with? Somebody's watching. See, if you're here and you're saved, you're just as much a child of God as I am. And I'm just as much a child of God as you are. You know what God says? We better be careful how we treat each other. We got to realize whose property we're dealing with. Come on now. Seminole Baptist Church, what are we? We're just a bunch of God's children. And God tells me, well, you lead them. Okay. Here we go. Let's go. Let's go. Where are they? Do you want to be led? Do you want to follow? Do you want to lead? What do you want to do? Right now, in here, right now, you got something in your heart against another brother or sister in here? And you refuse to get that thing right? Then you're not right with God. And your problem ain't with me. You're doing something to try to mess up this church, hurt this church, your problem is not with me. I'm not the one you're going to have to meet with one day. Amen? Now, we need to think about that. Offenses will come. Woe unto that man by whom they come. Verse 4, if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day. Brother Dean was talking about that. Amen. How many of you have had someone sin against you 7 times a day and you ought to forgive them 7 times a day? Has that ever happened to anybody here? Well, then we ought to be thankful. Amen. Well, they did me wrong, but at least they didn't do me wrong 7 times a day. Come on, you can't forgive someone that did you wrong once or twice. Right? Lord said, 7 times a day, forgive him. Right? Is that you? It ought to be. Did the Lord forgive you? How many times has the Lord had to forgive you? Has it been more than once or twice? Has it sometimes been more than 7 times a day? Now look at that thing. And notice the apostles' reaction to this thing, right? Stay with me. Look at verse 4. And if he trespass against thee 7 times in a day, and 7 times in a day turn again to thee, saying, I repent, thou shalt forgive him. Notice the apostles' reaction, verse 5. And the apostles said unto the Lord, what did they say? Increase our faith. Lord, you're asking an impossibility. How can you expect us to forgive our brother or sister 7 times a day? Lord, don't you know what they did to me? Yeah, he knows. Hey, what do they say you're supposed to do? Forgive them. Forgive them. 70 times 7. Forgive them. And the Lord said, if you had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. You don't have to have that much faith to do what the Lord said to do. That's what he's saying. Just faith of a mustard seed, smallest of all seeds. Lord said, you know what it is? We can't do it in our strength. We can't do it with our ability. But through Christ, I can do all things which strengthen me. Now, if I got a problem against a brother or sister, and right now I don't. I'm not preaching this because I got an issue. Okay, this is just where we're at. I did think it was kind of neat that we got our VBS meeting moved to this week. And so as I'm talking about being a blessing to the children, we're going to have our VBS meeting. I think that's kind of cool. But there's no agenda in this thing. I don't have anything against anybody here. And I don't want to, and I sure don't want to do anything to hurt any of you. Because if I do anything to hurt any of you, I got to answer to God. And I don't want to. By the way, I think you should have done more in that situation. I'm trying to be careful. See what? I'm just the pastor. I'm not the father. It's not my child I'm dealing with. I got to remember whose child that is I'm dealing with. I can do everything in my power to try and help them. Good night, man. I've been up here for a year and a half many times, brethren, and you know. Many times up here in the last year and a half having to preach and knowing there was people down there that were trying to ruin me and ruin my ministry or mess with my kids and talking about me and on the phone about me and talking about me with other churches and knowing that and having to preach to them and love them and pray for them. Say, why? I can't hurt them. They're God's children. I got to put that in the Lord's. I can't do nothing. Now, when it comes to a pastor, if I got to move somebody out, I got to move them out. But I ain't going to do it. I ain't going to put my hands on them. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Now, you want to talk about good works. Huh? Verse 3, take heed to yourselves. If thy brother trespass against thee, rebuke him. And if he repent, forgive him. Good works. Listen, you could quit your smoking and quit your drinking and quit your cussing for the rest of your Christian life and come out completely bankrupt at the judgment seat of Christ because you couldn't quit messing up God's children. Now that, you want to give account for something, that ain't something to give account for. We okay this morning? This is serious, see? Those God's children. Watch how you treat them. Are you praying for them? Or are you praying against them? There you go. Praying for them? Or are you, God, get them. They're God's children. God ain't going to... Listen, God wants to do that. That's God's business. That ain't yours. You know, the Bible says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. That's what we're supposed to be doing. Be preaching on the fruit of love this evening. Amen. That's what we ought to be doing. Say, how could you love those people and preach them and try to help them when you knew they were doing all that? I can't. Jesus Christ has to do that. I can't do it. I'll mess that thing up every time. I'll get in the flesh in a minute. You better keep your hands off God's children. You want the best for them? Sometimes even when we want the best for them, we've got to be careful. Amen? You know what I've got to be careful about? You with me still? The Lord chastens who He loves, right? Amen? But if I'm not careful, are you still with me? If I'm not careful, how'd you like it if every time Dad walked by his kid, his kid went like this because he was afraid Dad was going to beat him again. Listen, you shouldn't have to come to church and every time be afraid that I got to take out that stick. You shouldn't be afraid of that. I shouldn't be that way. Where all I'm doing is beating you every time you come here. Amen? I ought to be able to instruct you. I ought to be able to teach you. I ought to be able to help you. I ought to be able to encourage you. Sometimes I'm going to have to beat you. But Dad, if you're having to beat your kid all the time, something wrong. Something bad wrong. And it probably ain't with the kid. We okay? Now, I beat my kids sometimes, sure. But they know I love them. They know I care about them. They know they can come and talk to me. That's what I want to be as a pastor. I want a church that knows I love them. That I care about them. That I pray with them. That I'll help them. That I'll strengthen them, that I'll do anything I can for them. I'll go out of the way for them. I'll make any sacrifice I can for them. That ought to be how we are with God's children, all of us. Better keep your hands off the kids. You want the best for them. If I ask you something, what would you do to somebody that tried to hurt your kids? Hmm? So what does he say?
Lord, increase our faith. You don't need that much. Just let me do it. You're going to pick up a tree out of the roots and you're going to plant it in the sea. Anybody done that? You know the Lord says, you can, I can. Matter of fact, you read about it in the book of Revelation, he does it.
Look, two places and we'll be done. Ephesians chapter 4, Colossians chapter 3. Ephesians 4, Colossians 3.
I mean, I know you meant well when you were warning people about Brother Ray. Huh? I know you meant well when you were telling that one Christian to look out for so-and-so because of this, that. Yeah, but did you go to that person about it? See, it ain't me you have to answer to. Don't you understand? Offenses will come. Woe unto that man by whom they come. Ephesians chapter 4, look in verse 32. Verse 32. And be ye kind one to another. Is God asking too much? Be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. There it is. Look in Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. You know what I want more than anything else in my own house with my kids? I want them to get along. Nothing grieves me more in my own house as when my kids are fussing against each other. No, ask mama, ask me. That we can't stand it. It ain't happening. It ain't lasting. Go to your room. You know, come here. Let me give you a time out. Amen. We ain't putting up with that. We don't like that. It grieves the whole spirit of the home. When you're... Some of you had to hear it on the way to church this morning, didn't you? Don't touch me. No, you touch me first. No, don't touch me. I can imagine what's going on in that van from the boys' home. Good Lord. In the words of that great Christian, Rodney King, Colossians chapter 3, verse 12, put on therefore as the elect of God, is that you? You one of His? Holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another. Look at that, forbearing one another. What does that mean? You got to put up with each other. As weird as all you people are, I got to put up with you. And as lame as Pastor Ray is, you got to put up with him. Forbearing one another and what? Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all things put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. How would God have us treat each other, brethren? This ain't deep stuff. We think about it. We're talking about how this world and people treat kids. Huh? We wouldn't put up for any of that, would we? We have some child abuser in here. I bet you have some men in here that could take care of business. Amen. We don't put up with that. We ain't going to put up with that. We don't like that. I can't stand a child abuser. Can't stand him. Amen. But spiritually speaking, what are any of us? If we were to do something to harm, some way, do something to mess up
one of God's children. We've got to be careful. We've got to realize who it is we're dealing with. This ain't just a bunch of people. We ain't people anymore. We're God's children. We're saved. We need to remember this is God's property that we're dealing with. Amen? Treat each other the way God would have us to. Let's stand for prayer.